Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis for our meditation this afternoon are the words of our Lord as he dies on the cross. Into your hand I commit my spirit. When I was young, my parents taught me a bedtime prayer. I'm sure you're all familiar with it. Maybe your parents taught you this. Now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. Well, it's said that at the time of Jesus, many mothers in Israel taught a similar prayer based on Psalm 31. Into your hand I commit my spirit. There's a similarity to the prayers, right? Both teach children to look to their Heavenly Father to guidance, for care, to place their trust in them. As we hear Jesus' last words on the cross, it's not surprising that he speaks a word from a psalm. He's done that before. What is striking is that he chose to speak a children's prayer, if you will. He chose to speak a word that brought to mind his relationship with his Heavenly Father. In so doing, he reminds us who he is. But not only does he remind us who he is, but he reminds us by this action, by his giving himself on the cross, who we are as children of God. Because again, when we look at the cross, Jesus' final words sum up his life and who he truly is as the Son of God. And he demonstrated it throughout his life and throughout the ministry that he performed. Even early on, remember the episode in which Jesus was left in the temple, or stayed back in the temple, better put, and mother and father could not find him. They finally find him in the temple, and what did he say? Didn't you know I'd be in my Father's house? Didn't you know I'd be in my Father's business doing the work of my Father? Was what Jesus was saying to Mary and to Joseph. He understood from an early age he had been sent by the Father. And as we hear these words of the Lord, we're reminded of that. We're also reminded of the voice that came from heaven at his baptism. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Heavenly Father was well pleased with the Son because he was fulfilling the will of the Father. He was doing what he was sent to do. If you read carefully the Gospel of John, Jesus speaks again and again about his relationship with the Father. He makes clear that he was sent by the Father, that what he did, the miracles he performed, the teachings that he gave, were directed by the Father and came from the Father. And then he makes clear, even more so, that the only way to the Father is through him. All of this is brought to mind as we see Jesus on the cross say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. What's striking about this is that this isn't the same term Father that he uses in the Lord's Prayer. When he teaches his disciples to pray, our Father in heaven, the term there is Abba, a term of endearment, like Daddy. Here, it's the more formal, Father. Here, he is placing himself in the hands of the one who is the Father of all creation, the author of all life and all that exists. He's placing his hands in the one who had sent him to redeem this world. He places them himself in the hands of the Father because now, as he dies, he has completed it. He has completed the sacrifice. All that needs to be paid has been paid in his death. He has paid for your sins and for my sins. And as we hear these words of our Lord, we should be reminded of our relationship to God. Because Jesus truly was the Son of God. You are a child of God. We were already children of the Heavenly Father because he's our Creator. He is the source of all life. All life that exists owes that life to God. Even if they don't acknowledge it, even if they don't realize it, they have a Heavenly Father. But that's where the problem is. Many do not realize that. And the other problem is even those of us who realize it become rebellious against the Father. See, on a day like today, we're reminded of that, right? Often in life, we can kind of skirt around the issue of sin. Often we can kind of blame others, or we can point to others as worse sinners than ourselves. We can minimize our sin. We can excuse it. We can go through all sorts of hoops to somehow reduce our responsibility for sin. You can't do that today. You can't hear of our Lord's anguishing death on the cross. You can't look upon him on the tree and somehow think it really wasn't that bad. We are reminded of the fullness of our sin and what our sin deserves. We are rebellious children of our Heavenly Father, and we deserve to be punished. We deserve to be sent away. But our Lord, the Son of God, stepped in our place. And took the suffering on himself, took the wrath upon himself. He did it so that we would not be punished. We would be lost except for what the Son of God has done. And the fullness of that sacrifice is seen in the fact that Jesus rises on the third day. On Sunday, we are reminded that indeed the sacrifice was accepted. The payment was made. Everything that needs to be done is done. The payment for your sin has been made. And now, you can be a child of God. In fact, the Lord has made you a child of God. And this most clearly takes place in our baptism. Jesus tells us that we must be born again. And what takes place in our baptism is a union between the Son of God who died on the cross and sacrificed himself for you, with you. The Word and the water unite him to you so that the benefits of his sacrifice, his conquering of death, his conquering of sin, and his conquering of Satan is your victory. His title as a child of God is your title. You are united with him. So when the Heavenly Father looks upon you, he sees no longer a rebellious child who has turned away and followed his own will. He sees a holy child covered in the blood of Christ, washed clean. There's a beauty to that, is there not? Now we are children of God. A day like today, when we hear Jesus' words, we are reminded that we have been made children of God, and that we no longer have the guilt and the shame. You see, that's one of the problems in life, isn't it? We hear in the Bible that we're children of God, but how often do you really feel like a child of God or a worthy child of God? Our guilt and our shame get in the way. Satan whispers in our ear. Our human nature reminds herself of what we have done and what we have said. The world leads us away. But today, when we look at Jesus committing himself in the hands of the Father, we are reminded that that shame is taken away. The shame that exists because we have not done what we should. Our shame over our words, our shame over our thoughts, our shame over our actions. We're washed clean. That sin has been taken care of. And that other shame that we experience, the shame that comes with what the world places upon us or what the world does to us, or those times when we feel dirty and unclean. The waters of baptism remind us that we are washed away. We're united with the one who's on the cross. We have no shame, not from our actions or from any other actions. We are clean and holy. Our Lord looks upon us as his holy children of a holy God. That's what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross today. I mentioned the prayer that my mom and dad taught me. We know the last part of that prayer, right? If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. It's actually a beautiful prayer that reminds us that our whole life is in the hands of a loving Father. That even as we rest, as we sleep, as we live, we have a God who loves us, who leads us, who cares for us, and guides us. And that the life that he has for us is not just this life, it's the eternal life. That forever he is our Heavenly Father, and forever we are going to be his holy children. And because of that, we can, as we did earlier today, use those words of the psalm, the same words that our Lord used, that we as children of God with a childlike faith can also pray, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, Guide our hearts and minds to true faith, life everlasting. Amen.